This summer, FC United will once again be operating the Pay What You Can Afford season ticket scheme, as well as the new three-year season ticket. To purchase your season ticket, please visit www.fcumshop.co.uk or over the phone during office hours on 0161 769 2005. Or in person at the club office during working hours. This season promises to be a cracker, so please don't delay. Purchase your FC United season ticket today.
You're listening to FCM Radio, radio for FC United at Manchester, and now this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
He's 3-1!
Back post. Goal!
Dickie Black takes it for goal! The defence to attack, a wonderful save, pulled down by Spencer.
Towards it's a goal!
It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Cottrell with a screamer! I don't believe it! An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In the final of our summer specials of This Club Is My Club, we have all the interviews and reaction from Friday night's match against Bolton Wanderers. Yes, hello everybody and welcome to the final summer episode of This Club Is My Club. Cockers will return next week with an all new, brand new, proper This Club Is My Club. But this week, we're looking back at Friday night's match between FC United of Manchester and Bolton Wanderers at a very wet Broadhurst Park. All the highlights to come on this week's This Club Is My Club. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news by announcing that the club have announced a new ticketing partnership with Eventim, who will deal with the club's ticketing provision for the coming season. Board member Adrian Seddon explained, "Ticketing was an area which placed a big strain on our staff and volunteers, especially when dealing with the season ticket and membership rush over the summer. And although they coped admirably, this partnership will be very beneficial to the club. Tickets for FC United games, membership and season tickets can now be bought from www.eventim.co.uk. This can be accessed directly through the club shop as well. That's at www.fcumshop.co.uk. In other news, and the club has announced that matchday dining will return to FC United this season. You can book your own table of 10 or sit with other like-minded supporters at one of our shared tables for matches during the current season. FC dining includes complimentary parking pass, a welcome drink and a free course meal, a cash bar, complimentary matchday programme and team sheets, matchday admission, pre-match guest appearance from FC United manager Carl Madison, and a post-match man of the match presentation and interviews. There'll be an FC dining special launch offer in August. That's £29 for adults, £19 for adult matchday ticket holders, while juniors will be half price. This is valid for the following matches: Fleetwood Town, Spennymoor Town, Kidderminster Harriers and Boston United. You can book now by calling the FC office on 0161 769 2005, or you can email Ruth Slater. That's at ruth.slater@fc-utd.net. And finally, FC United of Manchester's women's team's pre-season friendlies have kicked off. Starting off a couple of weeks ago, they defeated Crewe Alexander Ladies by 1-0. Then last week, they demolished Burton Albion 11-1, while on Sunday, Leeds Ladies came visiting to Broadhurst Park and were soundly defeated by 15-0. Here's Neil Boothman now catching up with FC United of Manchester's women's team manager, Luke Podmore, after the game.
Okay, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore of FC United women's team. That was another terrific pre-season win there.
Yeah, it was a good workout for us. You know, as I said to them at the start of the game, you know, they get out with what they put into it. So, you know, they all worked at a good tempo throughout the whole of the game. Obviously, it's pre-season, so we wanted to maybe work that a little bit harder to get as much as they can out of it. But yeah, you know, all in all, 15 goals and, you know, no response. You can't really argue with that.
No, one better than last season, but I think the quality of the goals was something special.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think if you look at some of the way we built up those goals from the back, and you know, some of the finishes as well were unbelievable, in particular obviously Fran Sullivan, which was a standout one. But all the goals, you know, were proper team goals, and that's, you know, we're showing that we're coming together a lot more now. And, you know, obviously coming up to the season, you know, we're looking good.
We said goodbye to Adora Yao today. Unfortunately, she's been released to join Stockport, but she had a good game and scored an absolutely terrific penalty.
Yeah, I mean, Adora's been a fantastic ambassador for the club since she's been here. You know, I had the pleasure of working with Adora back in 2012 when the team was first started. So I can see her journey and where she's come from and where she is now. You know, she's given the fans and us, you know, the coaches, you know, much pleasure over the years. So, you know, obviously I wish her well, and, you know, we ended well on terms. You know, I wish her well, and as I said to her, she needs to be playing football at this time in her career. She's got too much to give, you know, and a lot of people will learn a lot of her, you know, from where she goes to next. So I wish her all the best.
Yeah, but moving to the future, a lot of new starters out there, and they all seem to be, even though only four games in, they seem to be gelling quite well.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, we've had a few new players in there today, again, different combinations, and it's all looking really good. You know, we've got the right people now with the right mentality, with the right quality. And like I say, we can't make any mistakes this year. We've got to really try and go for it this year. So, yeah, it's all looking good and all looking good.
So it's definitely promotions, the number one aim. I presume you pretty much put that down for every club, but we really need it after another two seasons of being in this division. We need to be in the Premier of this one at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we said at the start of the season we need to, you know, the number one thing is to get out of this division. You know, it's holding us back at the moment. You know, and if we can assemble the squad, what we've got at the moment, and we can play the football we've got, you know, what we're doing at the moment, and I think if we was to move up a league, it'd be, you know, it'd go up another level again. So in order to progress, we really need to go up this year, and, you know, we'll be putting everything into the league this year as much as we can.
And everything looks like we will be doing, so hopefully we'll be back here, if you want to watch them, back here next Sunday for another encounter of pre-season fun, and we can see how it goes even more.
Yeah, we've got Brighouse at home next week, and that'll probably be our toughest game, so yeah, hopefully if you can come watch us and see how we're getting on, that'd be great.
Right, you heard that, 2 o'clock Sunday, be there.
So, to Friday night at Broadhurst Park now, and on a wet Friday evening in North Manchester, FC United hosted Bolton Wanderers in their penultimate friendly of the summer. Before kick-off, myself, Swampy and Stato Paul gathered our thoughts to discuss this match, as well as the pre-season friendlies since Salford City.
So, a big welcome to Broadhurst Park here on a Friday evening. At time of recording, we don't know whether this match is going to make the full 90 minutes, but we're 25 minutes before kick-off, and we thought we'd come on air to allow you, dear listener, a sample of what pre-season's been like since we last spoke, and that was Salford City away. And joining me now, it's Swampy. Hello, Swampy.
Good evening, Ben, and good evening, radio listener out there. Are we actually only 25 minutes away from kickoff?
We are 25 minutes away from kickoff.
I know notoriously we spend a lot of time in the bar, but there's actually no one in the ground, which is not a surprise because...
It's chucking it down.
It's listen. Not only that, but also there's been lots of poor and bad road works and the M60s,
the
basically
car park.
We got here, though, didn't we?
Well, we went through Longsight. So
we did indeed.
Anyway, that's what they always say.
If in doubt, go through Longsight.
So, since Salford, FC United's played a handful of games. Stalybridge Celtic away. I think Stato, Paul, you were at that game. We'll hear from you in a second. Abbey Hay, were you at that game? No, of course he wasn't. It's not that hardcore. But South Shields was last Saturday's game, where we probably had a full-strength side there. 3-0 defeat, though, Swampy, and you were there on a tourist expedition more than anything. What did you...
No, not necessarily a tourist expedition. I was seeing family, grandkids, and there's a man...
Ptolemies.
Right. There you go. Ptolemies.
Some strange, heckling going on.
Ptolemies. If anyone can tell me who Ptolemies was, that would be very interesting. I know who he is. But that's the quiz question of the afternoon or the evening.
We're not live. This is a podcast, though.
Oh, is it?
You're going to go home and listen to this later.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't aware of.
But yeah, South Shields.
Listen. I mean, South Shields, a team three seasons ago that were struggling in the Northern League. You know, they about half an hour, 40 minutes from South Shields itself. Crowds of about 35, 40. I watched them against Jarrah Roofing on a few occasions. Jarrah, the better team on many occasions. But they had that cash injection, and also they brought in Graham Fenton, and Fenton's done tremendously well. I mean, they're akin to where they are now in the division. They got promoted last season, and they'll win this division.
They're treading a path there that Spennymoor tread, and that's encouraging sides like South Shields, like Bishop Auckland in a couple of seasons as well. I think they're going to make the jump from the Northern League to come out into the national structure.
Yeah, well, there's no way they could have stayed where they are with the ambition that they've got. I mean, the ground itself is, the surface is absolutely tremendous. I mean, we know here at Broadhurst Park it's a great pitch. They're equally as good, you know. Good facilities, they've got you know, room as well to build and build and build. And I mean, the way I would look at it is, for me, they've been promoted this season, and I would suggest that they'll win the league. No, I won't suggest, they will win the league by a canter. Definitely by a canter will they win the league, there's no question about it. The thing is though, they are the equivalent of what we were in the North West Counties. You know, we had players that came down four divisions to play for FC United of Manchester because of who they were, and that great opportunity to put yourself in a shot window in front of 3,000 supporters. They're the same. I mean, Julie Arca, I mean, the player, centre midfield, who actually was in the South African World Cup squad in 2010.
So
played for Newcastle.
It's a question we kind of asked the last time we were on this club, Michael, about the standard of friendlies we were playing. Did we learn anything from that trip to South Shields?
I think Carl learned that certain players can cut the mustard and others players possibly can't. I mean, the first half it was quite competitive, it was quite even. South Shields, you know, never really threatened FC in any way, shape or form. But equally, FC didn't, the same, they didn't really threaten too much either. Second half they made a few changes, South Shields, they came out like a rocket, scored two goals in 5 minutes, and you know, they stepped up the gas and they were the far the better team. But you know, it's they're a good listen, they could play in the Conference North tomorrow or tonight, they could be here tonight playing the Conference North as a Conference North team. You wouldn't know the difference, that's the calibre of the team. But yeah, I mean, I think you learn something in every game pre-season. I think the one thing Carl hasn't been able to do, or doesn't seem that he's been able to do, is have a settled team. And I think a lot of people would quite like, I mean, from a supporter's perspective, I like a settled team coming into the last two or three games. Tonight is a decent team that we've got on show against, you know, a Bolton Wanderers 11, of which there's about eight trialists, and then the rest of the team are made up of...
It's a Perry Mason 11, isn't it?
The under-23 team, I think, primarily on the bench. But listen... You can have a really, really great pre-season and then get relegated. You can have a really rubbish pre-season and win promotion. It's all about starting against Brackley away next week, and that's the big, big test. I mean, we've got Fleetwood on Tuesday night here at Broadhurst Park as well.
Which will be on the radio as well.
So that's going to be, again, I mean, the two good games to get ourselves set for that first away game of the season.
This starting lineup that Marge has gone with today, you'd expect with how many friendlies have we got left? Have we got
two.
Just two friendlies
yeah,
left?
Yeah, yeah.
You'd expect this to be close to the starting 11. And is it the starting 11?
Not necessarily, no.
Tom Brown is captain. Lewis Lacey is there, but Lewis Lacey in at number nine.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about Lewis Lacey. And,
he was a centre forward,
he was a centre forward. He first came to FC from Mostyn Juniors. Good pace, good in the air, great shot on him. And, you know, he came through the ranks at FC, ended up in the first team. It was myself, Dave Brown, and Richard Brown that put him into that centre-half position. And, listen, he did brilliantly there. You know, there was a lot of clubs that came in for him. It didn't quite work out for him. However, he's got a lot of quality about him. And at the same time...
It's good to see him back.
He's left the club. Gone here, gone there.
He was at Chadderton.
Back. Yeah, he was at Chadderton, and now he's back. And listen, you know, we've got about half a dozen centre halves, so why not play him up there? He's been scoring a couple of goals in pre-season, and he's a good player. But I mean, there's a debutant there for Joel Senior.
It'd be interesting to see if Lewis Lacey and Conor McCarthy go up front together. That'd be good to see.
That'd be a first.
It would be a first, but
I mean, yeah, I mean, I was talking on the
because that's what he needs, isn't it, McCarthy? Yeah. Every match I've read into or I've seen in this pre-season, he seems to be a very isolated. How many strikers have we had who've been isolated?
Pretty much all of them. I mean, I did speak on the unofficial message board last night talking about, you know, maybe partnerships where you've got Tom Greaves and Gilchrist, and they've got Lacey and you've got Conor McCarthy. But it depends if Carr's going to play two up top. I like that partnership. I think it breeds something, you know, in a squad amongst the players, where they're battling against each other for who can get more of the goals. They can feed off each other. We've seen it work for Manchester United tremendously well with, you know, Solskjaer and Sheringham and Dwight York and Cole. There's no reason why it can't work here for FC United and Manchester. I mean, not necessarily that pairing, but you could change them around.
I mean,
Conor McCarthy, watched him two or three times now. I do like him. The only criticism I've got is he needs to play with his head up a little bit more, because he's got a lot about him. He likes to get stuck in. He works well, but he plays with his head down. He likes to get a shot away.
Stato Paul's joining us now. Hello, Paul.
Hi.
I'd just like to ask the pair of you what you thought of Gary Neville's tweet this past week.
I think it was tongue-in-cheek. Well, I would like to think so, anyway.
Do you want to know his predictions, Wumper?
I know his predictions.
Well, let's just ask.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just say this. Gary Neville said, based on budgets, his prediction for the top three in Conference North this season is York, Darlington and Stockport.
Is he talking about the playoffs there? Has it been misunderstood?
Look, there's not a chance on earth that Salford aren't going to be in that top three at the end of the season, is there?
Well, listen, if he thinks he's kidding anybody,
yeah,
he's kidding himself, possibly. That's about it. There's not a chance that he actually means that.
Let's be honest. If Salford are, say, fifth or sixth at Christmas, are they going to sit back and say, oh, well, we've got the squad, we can't afford anybody else, we're stuck with what we've got?
That's the thing, isn't it? It's always about that Christmas time where clubs either decide to stick or twist.
Yeah.
And I think they'll twist, won't
And
they?
I think the budget will probably go much higher during the season.
Well, listen, they've already got a tremendous squad. You know, there's no question, about
all 40 of them.
Yeah.
and they haven't even got numbers, so you're going to find it very hard to track them down.
And also, they've got a management duo that... are building a small legacy there. You know, they're getting all the players, that's fine, but you've still got to be able to work with those players. I mean,
did you say legacy?
It was more Meccano. And you know, look, what Gary Neville says, I mean, and Guardiola sort of like called him he came out, then he took about as a City have got a player that's 17 years of age from Stockport, and he's actually he's a Man City fan. He played against United over in the US, didn't he, last week? And I think it was Neville who said basically, well, if he's at the wrong club, really, he should have come to United. And he turned around Guardiola and said, these journalists, you know, these pundits, these journalists, you know,
they know nothing.
And you know,
it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I was speaking to Steve Wood earlier about who he was predicting for the top 10 and that kind of thing. FC United this season, it's going to be, if we're going to do well, it's going to be another season where we're hovering around 11th again. Right. That's a good season.
The one thing that we need to do, Ben, this season, and the most critical thing that we need to do this season is win more than five games at home.
Yeah. Win more at home than away would be a start.
Win or entertain.
We have to win. No, because what you'll find is by winning at home, it will become more entertaining. More people come through the gate.
No, I remember we beat Kidderminster last season, and that game wasn't the most entertaining.
We
wins
need
out everything, are they?
But it was a great defensive game.
Yeah,
we
but
defended
that
brilliantly.
That doesn't excite kids for me.
No, I think it does. I think that performance for me was a gritty, really good professional performance. And I think what we need to do is remember that. We are here to entertain, but also you want to be leaving Broaders Park and saying another FC win, another FC win, another FC win, because more people will come through the turnstiles. And let's not forget, we actually, our lifeblood financially as those coming through the gates. So it's an onus to Carl. He's got a very attacking, flared squad, and it's an onus to go out there and actually show that. But all we're saying is, look, we need to win at least 10 games at home. We need to double what we did last season.
I think a lot of our games this season at home will be the have-nots against the haves. And if we can upset the apple cart a few times...
Well, if you've got Salford coming or York, you should be up for that anyway. That's half the battle. Your team talk's done for you, isn't it?
But you are facing a better quality of player. And if you can upset the apple cart a few times in the season, good luck. You know, we've done very well.
Yeah,
we're not going to do it every time.
But the one thing to bear in mind is when you're on that pitch, it's 11 versus 11. And, you know, the underdog can and often does
in football
do well.
Yeah.
Our weakness is beating the lower clubs.
It's imperative that we have a decent start to the season. We're not looking over our shoulder in the very early parts of the season, and we can give a little bit of entertainment to the supporters here. The likes of Kieran Glynn, you know, his quality. The likes of Gilchrist with his pace and quality. The likes of Lowe, if we can get him playing maybe with an extra yard of pace and a bit more quality coming from him, because he's got great, great quality. There's a lot there on offer for the supporters to enjoy. And the one thing you're right, we do need, Ben, from an entertainment for the kids, we need the kids need a cult hero. They need a Rory Patterson. They need a Carlos Rocca. They need that kind of player so the kids can recognise and identify with an individual week in, week out that does something different week in, week out, and they can enjoy. And they'll bring their friends. And they'll say, oh, we've got this player here at FC. You want to come and see him? He's brilliant. And, you know, they're the kind of things that we need to do. A very attacking young team. There's not a lot of experience. I mean, the experience that we had, I spoke in the programme at Salford City, saying, you know, there's some youthful experience, and there is. The real experience has gone, unfortunately, and that's it with, for me, it's a travesty that we've lost Matty Wolfenden, an absolute travesty.
I mean, that's happened, disappointing. That's happened since we've been off air, and he's a quality player.
Absolute quality. And he'll do well for Stalybridge Celtic. I mean, his goal-scoring record shows what he's capable of. He's a footballer's footballer. His movement off the ball and his quality on that pitch is absolutely superb. A lot of people have been saying, well, he wasn't good enough for this division. Well, I know, and I won't mention it, but I know that there were several clubs that came in for him actually higher than we are and offered him contracts. You know, and it was
the old.
He's a school teacher, so he's not taking him.
He's decided that he wants to. So he's move locally more than football.
And the thing is, he was the antipathy of FC because everything about him, on the pitch, off the pitch, as an ambassador for FC, like Dave Chadwick and others, he was an ambassador of FC United. And to lose some of that kind of calibre, we're only left with really, in all fairness, Tom Greaves is really the only one now. I mean, we know
Matty Hughes has got the potential.
What I'm talking
that.
About is his plays that fans, you know. Yeah. I was asked in the cafeteria this morning, what's the squad looking like? I said, well, when you get there, you won't recognise one from last season. There'll be about three or four. And he went, why? What's happened? And I said, the players that had gone. He was like, blooming heck. You know, I mean, and let's not forget, I think Carl's right in a way to get rid of. Not necessarily get rid of, but and they weren't surplus to requirement, but they've refreshed.
All non-league clubs refreshed. That's one thing that we've not done in the past, and we've struggled. There was one season where we refreshed late on in the day to try and rescue the season, and it worked. I think it was two seasons ago.
I mean, we've refreshed massively this season. I mean, it's a brand new squad.
Yeah, it was probably a season too late, really. It should have been the season before we did this.
I think you're right. But it'll be interesting. I think we've got a lot. I said there's a lot of quality. It's whether they can get them to gel. They can work together as a unit. Carl and Vorney and Daz have got them working on the training ground. As I say, I think everyone's crying out for two up top. I think everyone's crying out for Gilchrist. And I know you'll speak to Carl later on, and maybe you can ask him the question. Why does he rely on playing Gilchrist out wide rather than through the middle? Because he's got the pace, he's got the quality, that partnership. Because the thing is, the one thing as well, as we know, if you've got two guys up top, it's hard for defenders. Because one can come short, one can go long, and if you've got one up top, you just pass him on. If you've been a centre half and you're marking one individual for about 20 minutes, and you go to the other centre half, there you go, he's knackered now. You've got another 20 minutes, and they can run you ragged.
You know the Facebook group now is going, oh, stop going on about two up front. You've been going on about two up front for 5 years. It's true though. But anyway,
were we successful with two up front? Well,
yes,
I think we were.
Yes,
Rudd,
we were. Yeah.
Rudd and Patterson. You know, I mean, there's a whole host of combinations that have worked well in the past for FC United and Manchester.
Deegan Norts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And it's entertaining.
I think that Brighton Cup game and the replay was the watershed for playing two up.
Yeah.
Because that influenced the manager to change his style. And we've never gone back to the way we were, really.
I think it's a very good point. And, you know, this is semi-professional football at a good standard. And we don't have to follow in the footsteps of all Premier League teams playing, you know, because everyone in the Premier League on a football pitch can play football. Everyone can score from different points.
We are going over old ground here, but the reason why it works for top flight footballers is because they're drilled into a set formation.
And they're training and so many times.
Well, that's the point, exactly. Yeah. That's
and for non-league players, you can't really do that.
No, and that's why, for me, you have a rigid formula. I would like to see maybe you know, a 3-5-2 this season. I think that could work well for FC United and Manchester this season. I think you've got two wing-backs that are bobbing up and down. I mean, it'd be good to see Danny Wisdom tonight. You know, back from his honeymoon, is he? Oh, he's been on holiday anyway, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think it was a honeymoon.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, and also we've re-signed...
Craig Linfield.
Craig Linfield, who's actually gone on his honeymoon.
Yes, yeah. That's true. Congratulations.
Many of course, returns. Yeah.
But that's our pre-match talk, and it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team at Broadhurst Park on Friday night to see if the match got to 90 minutes without being rained off.
Well, Lacey there was being to it. He really had a slight shove on his back, but the referee let the play continue, and it's Bolton coming more into this game. Right has our back heel there, and the seven does well again, but comes across. An opportunity should be 1-0, and it is. A little bit fortuitous initially.
I think it was number 11, trialist 8.
It was. And it all started down this right-hand side. Lewis Lacey thought he was a judge to have been fouled just over the halfway line. And ball played down the right-hand side. And it was number 7, trialist 5. He did well because he continued his run. The ball ricocheted back into his path, put a ball right across there. And unfortunately, there was no one at the back post defending from FC United and Manchester. They'd all gone to the ball. And it's Bolton that take the lead. 1-0.
And what have you made of that first half, Mr. Stephen Wood?
It was okay, actually. I think the first 15 minutes we were the better team by a bit of a distance. We were undone by, I still say it was a Bobby Stokes-esque offside goal, I think, from where I was sat anyway. Good finish. It was a good move and a good crossing and a good finish. I think we've done all right. I think we've been unlucky on a couple of occasions. And Danny Wisdom's done fantastically well on the left wing, and he was unlucky not to score earlier on. The young Rooney up top there has done. Put himself about a bit, I think. So he's done all right. I think the downer is Richie Baker's injury, which few players seem to be picking up injuries, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the downside, isn't it, to football in a way. You get injuries.
I can't say much about Bolton because I mean they're all related. Try all Mr. TRI list.
One question I'd just like to put to you is Lewis Lacey up front.
Yeah.
I think it's working well, but it's not working well when Conor McCarthy's too far away from him.
Yeah, I mean, you can see a lot of times the ball's being played up to him and he's nodding it back to try and...
Some cracking headers he's doing
He's winning some great headers. He will do.
Have we come across something here which might work against Brackley away, where we've got a striker up front who he's well built, he's strong, he's athletic, he's clever, he's combative... And then you've got this player here, this Conor McCarthy, who's like I know people have said this, but a Wayne Rooney type scrapper. He gets stuck in. He's got pace. This could work if we're willing to give it a go as a duo up front.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking before the game. I want to see Gilchrist play, and I want to see Gilchrist down the middle in the box. He's a goal scorer, and he will score goals.
Not on his own, he won't.
No, but with McCarthy doing the work for him, that's what I would prefer to see. I mean, you know, Lewis has done all right. He did all right doing it against Abier. He did well against Ashton. So
shall we talk about those games? We're missing.
Speaking of Brackley, by the way, I know we said before. You know what I'll take next Saturday?
A goal.
That's all we need. A 0-5 ratio so far. A goal's as good as a victory down there, let's be honest.
We've not really spoke since Salford, you see. And I'd just like to just get a brief update on how we did. Stalybridge Celtic on Tuesday the 18th of July. A 1-0 defeat at Bowerfold. How did we do?
I'd call it average. I don't think it was as bad as people make it. You look for performances. There was a couple of players who played well in it. The defence did all right that night, I thought. I just couldn't see us scoring any goals, and then we've not got to that one yet. Just in case anybody... No spoilers, anybody knows.
Abbey on Thursday the 20th of July at the Abbey Stadium,
Abbey Stadium.
In Gorton. 3-1 win.
I mean, thinking about the games like that and the Congleton one and, you know, even the Avro game as well, they're mainly trialists, and you can't really judge a great deal. Which is what we're saying, you know. I mean,
well, Craig Linfield seems to have done all right out of pre-season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but then it's notable that in the so-called bigger games, so up to forget Celtic, he'd gone away.
We're not discussing.
No, I'm saying though that up to that, you know, he didn't play in Ireland, he didn't play against Salford, so. The worry, you know, the thing about that is he's played against Averoes and he's played, you know, he's played against the Manchester Leagues and the North West County. And that's not said, you know, I'm surprised he's back, don't get me wrong, but he can certainly still do a job for us. Anyway.
And lastly, the last game before this one here against Bolton was Aston United at Hurst Cross on Tuesday evening. Bit of a ding-dong, this one, 4-3
win. It was a good game. I thought we played pretty well. And, you know, a soft penalty and then yeah, he scored a decent goal and then another offside goal in my from where I was sat. That put pay to us scoring four goals of the we're going to score goals from.
Stephen Wood is joining us at our time, as is Stattle Paul. And
this is half time. We're already here.
I know. I'm looking forward to this though for the remainder of the season. Are we looking forward to Brackley away? And
never.
No, I think we're looking forward to getting beyond that game.
Yeah. I'm glad it's the first game of the season. And it's been and gone.
Yeah. I'm quite pleased it's the first game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, absolutely.
We can have this chat on Tuesday night, but just have it now. We do have this knack of having poor starts to the league campaign.
To the season, to the halves, whichever you name it, yeah.
Brackley Town away is one of them games where we've never, ever done well. Then we've got Spennymoor on the Tuesday night here at Broaders Park, who many are predicting good, surprising things for them, considering they've come up. That I think they're going to do well this season, Spennymoor. Then we've got Kidderminster on the Saturday.
We always beat them.
We do always beat them, don't we? So what am I talking about? So we'll be fine.
Yeah,
but you know the part I'm trying to make.
It could be a very difficult opening part to the season. But I mean, I think you know we don't expect anything from the Brackley trip, but the two home games we have to start imposing ourselves at Broaders Park. That's the mantra for the season coming, I think.
Because that Spennymoor Town team will impose themselves.
But we have to start making this a difficult place for people to come to.
Correct.
And that might involve playing more football.
When it comes to this season then, and because we've got two pre-season friendlies left, and we were surmising earlier...
I believe we've got one. One and a half.
We were surmising earlier that, you know, at this point, you'd expect us to be playing the team who's looking more or less likely to be starting against Brackley, wouldn't you expect that?
I think generally we are tonight, generally. But, you know, there's a couple of injuries. Matthews is injured. They'll be in there, I would have thought.
Just to make one point.
Yes.
It's good to see Danny Wisdom at
Indeed.
Last involved in the back four or back three.
He's good, isn't
he? Yes.
And that augurs well for the left-hand side of the defence, at least, for the season coming.
Now, the right-hand side, we've got Joel Senior who's coming from... Main Road, I believe. It's difficult to say, isn't it? I
mean, he played at Congleton in the second half and played well, and I don't think we've seen him since. So, that's one of the positions tonight. What I would argue, I think he will be the first choice. Crowley, I think he's just looking at this. I would suggest.
And when it comes to the centre back duo, obviously Matty Hughes is got great pedigree in non-league, whether it be Fylde or Stalybridge. Fag Bowler and Baird, though, that's something I think. I can't remember the game, but we mentioned it towards the end of last season that's what we'd like to see more and more of, because that's an exciting partnership which is young and dynamic and will offer us more than that long ball up front kind of thing. Not that Matt Hughes will offer that, but you know the point.
I think I'm going to have to go to an internal on the match report, but I think he's going to go. Well, actually, I don't know, because he's not played last few matches. I thought a couple of games ago he was going to do the three at the back and the wing backs. Wisdom, you can see tonight, lends himself to a wing back perfect. I mean, he scored here for Stalybridge a couple of seasons ago, falling forward. You know, to me, Hughes played, and for me, he'd be captain. Fag Bowler was good in the last season, has been brilliant pre season. And I think we've spoiled for Richards in the centre half all of a sudden with Baird and Tuth coming in as well.
They have three cracking centre halves.
We've got four.
I see Lacey Moore as the striker now.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. That's not going to be on the agenda. I think we've got four centre halves for two positions, maybe three, depending on how we play it next week. But you know, we shall see what happens.
Well, Stephen Wood, look forward to your match report. That'll be available tonight or tomorrow. Tomorrow.
It's likely to be in the non-league paper on Sunday.
Oh my goodness.
There was nobody else to do it, actually. There was literally
you'll be one
to
of the three pages, will you? They're available to football on Sunday in the non-league paper.
Only 175 words. Only the small one.
Well, thank
and,
you.
And the small match report as well. Oh,
I'm cutting you down. Thank you to Stephen Wood there for his half-time thoughts. And we're now joined once again by the welcome return of our commentary team, Stato Paul, Ben, and Swamper when he gets his headset on, which is still raining here, but I think we're going to get to 90 minutes, Paul.
Looks like no changes at half-time.
And that's how the match finished. FC United and Manchester 0, Bolton Wanderers 1. Here's the FC Live team with their closing thoughts.
It's finished here 1-0 to the visiting team. And as I say, boys, your thoughts?
I think it was a typical friendly in that it was very much trialist in error.
Oh, he's been like that he's had stored up for hours. And I thought you were a bit twitchy on your chair. I thought that. Swamper, in the first half we did learn a fair few things about some various players and various combinations for FC United. Then we made a few changes, and after those substitutions, as point Paul made as well, you can't really learn anything once those changes are made.
No, it's
and with one friendly left to play, that's on Tuesday night, and it'll be here on FC Radio on against Fleetwood.
It was interesting. I mean, you know, I thought the link up with Lacey and Conor McCarthy in that first half was decent. I don't know. Again, we know there's plenty of players on offer for FC United, and you've got to give them a chance and got to give them an opportunity. But we've not seen one game in pre-season with the same team, you know. And I think you're right, Paul. I think you've got some stage. I mean, maybe it's Tuesday where you have your starting 11.
It has to be the starting. I was surprised it wasn't the starting 11 tonight. Assuming it isn't, it might be. But I'm surprised it wasn't the starting 11 tonight, and that we can have at least a good run-up to that Brackley game. Because that Brackley game is going to be tough, and we were saying this at half-time. That then goes into Spennymoor, which is not going to be easier, and then Kidderminster.
Yeah,
you want a settled team going into this season, especially with our track record of the way we start seasons.
Well, there are no easy games in this division, and they're only going to get harder and harder as this division gets stronger and stronger. And what we've got to do is compete and be up there.
I'm just surprised that you know, we're facing a team here of trialists, and they looked more coherent and looked like they'd played together a lot
when you've got Spanish players. It's very difficult to actually say a great deal about that game. There was some moments where there was some good football being played. I think we started off quite well the first 15-20 minutes. It was there was a little bit of passion, there's a little bit of pace, a little bit of quality in the team. But then we seem to resort to going a little bit slower. We held the ball up a little bit too much. But I say it was good to see the likes of Lewis Lacey and Conor McCarthy coming together and working as a two up top. For me, they were too deep. They weren't close enough to each other. But you can see that there's an opportunity of making something out of those two in the game. But overall, it's another 90 minutes of football. I still think we're still guessing the starting 11. I think most teams at this moment in time, with two games to go, would have played a strong 11 that they're thinking that going into the first game of the season. I think he has to do that against Fleetwood. I don't think you can actually not have a team that you know exactly who you're going to play. And he might already have that in mind, but I think you've got to play them all together at some stage anyway.
Well, just to move away from football slightly, this is the first time we've been here this season, essentially, this pre-season. And there's been a fair few changes here at Broaders Park. And Adrian Seddon's joining us now, board member Adrian Seddon. Hello, Adrian, how are you?
Oh, yeah.
First thing,
board member Adrian Seddon. Come in.
Why are you not wearing a tie? I told you to wear a tie. One thing we noticed, which is obvious when you arrive, is the club shop.
Yeah,
that's now got a pride of place right built into the stand there, and it looks smart.
I think it was always in the plans originally when we moved into
the
ground.
There's a lot of things in the plans originally, weren't there? Let's be honest.
Well, we never quite got round to do them. But it's great because now we've got a proper club shop. It's not a stall. It's there. And it can be used all week. We get so many groundhoppers that come to our ground during the week, and they come over and they say, "Oh, can I buy something from your club shop?" And we couldn't do anything with them. We had to say, "Well, what do you want?" And they say, "Well, we don't know what you've got." So now they can come in, have a look around, get some shares, get some merchandise. And for the supporters, you know, before the game, they can come in, have a look at a proper shop.
And what else is different? There's obviously this season we're having a better run-up really when it comes to marketing the club, when it comes to fundraising and the sponsorship side of things. How is that side of the club going, Adrian, at the moment?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look, if those of you that are in the ground today, they'll see that the wall opposite opposite our end, opposite the main stand, is blank at the moment, the advertising. That's because we've done a deal with a company that we're going to launch at the Spennymoor game, and they're having the entire advertising banners all down that. So they've taken 98 metres of advertising.
It's basically, you know, that Welsh, train station. Yeah. It's from one end to the other.
That's very exciting.
And they've done it for 5 years. You'll have to wait till the Spennymoor game to see exactly who it is, but it's a company that does utilities, you know, that finds you the best deal, and they're keen to work with our fans, get our fans a better deal, and every time someone switches over with them, then the club will get some money as well. So it's an ongoing thing.
It's both for businesses and individuals, isn't it, as well?
Businesses and individuals, and obviously as a club, the bigger the business, the more money they'll give us as a commission, so that's great. As a club, we've already saved money on our utilities using them, so it's a double whammy. They've managed to sponsor us for 5 years, and we're saving money on utilities, so that's good. Looking around the function room, we've brought in match dining this year, so... If you're a season ticket holder, you pay £29. If it includes match admission, it's £39. You get a 3-course meal, in sight of the pitch, a welcome drink, programme, team sheets, all that sort of thing.
And I know that might be controversial to some people, but really that's the lifeblood of any sports club, to be able to offer that kind of facility.
I think we were the only team in our league last season that didn't do it. Listen, it's a third of the function room. It's not taken up a huge amount of space, but it's something that's important because it's not for everyone. But at that price, I mean, you're a season ticket holder, £29. Yeah, you might not want to do it every game, but maybe once or twice a season. Maybe a group of lads want to take a table of 10. Maybe you're there with your wife, your husband, or the family, and you want to do something a little bit special. It's an anniversary or something like that. It's a different thing that we're offering. We're not, you know, we go to some grounds. I saw some places where they were charging £80 a head for this kind of entertainment. You know, it's hospitality, but it's the FC way, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, sort of Darlington, didn't we? We played Darlington. I mean, that room there.
It's full.
There was probably about 50, 60 different diners all having food and enjoying themselves, then watching the game. You know, those that want to do that can do that. That's fantastic. You know, the money's going into the club. I mean, that's what we've got to remember. People actually are paying that £39. The money's going back into the club. And I don't mind, you know, us doing things like that because it gives an opportunity to raise some more money. We know the catering's going in-house as well, isn't it, from the Spennymoor game. Yep. So we're going to have the in-house catering.
We're in a situation where we need to raise a lot more money because of the cost of the build. You know, we still haven't paid for all of it, so we need to raise more money. And we're committed to keeping ticket prices as low as possible. Now, there's no magic wand that we can keep ticket prices very low and then do nothing to raise the revenue. We do need to raise the revenue. So we're looking at ways of doing it at the moment that doesn't impact too much on the supporters, you know. And roping off a third of the function room will cope. Some of the money this will raise will help us get the money to refurbish the SMRE bar. So, you know, by the end of the season, we'll have a fully refurbished SMRE bar. The fans will want to go in. At the moment it's great because it's got that sort of rustic look about it. I absolutely love it, but in the winter it's freezing and we won't be able to keep it open forever, because there's not proper flooring, you know, so we have to do something about it, and we do need to raise the money in order to do the ground improvements we want to do, and that's one of the things we brought in.
And one of that aspects as well was season tickets. Obviously we did the 3-year season tickets, and just ordinary pay what you can afford season tickets. How's the take up of that been?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, the sale of season tickets has been slightly disappointing. I mean, not massively disappointing, but we do need to sell a few more because, you know, that's our big revenue generator for the club at this time. The 3-year season tickets, we've sold 63 so far, so that's been fantastic. So we've got an option now. We've got obviously it's pay what you can afford, the season tickets, so it's a minimum price if you're an adult of £100, which for 21 games is absolutely unbelievable. And then we say to you, listen, you know, how much can you give us on top? You know, how much we've got people that only go to maybe 7 or 8 games, so for them £100 is what they want to give us, and that's fine. People that are low waged. But other people who go to maybe 18, 19, 21 of those games and can afford a little bit more, then give us a donation. We recommend £75 on top, but that's completely up to you. We've introduced a concession season ticket for the first time because concessions in the past were asked to pay £100. Now, I know the price has gone up by £1 this year, but last year it was £105 if you paid on the gate, and the £100 season ticket, there was no incentive. So we've brought in a £65 concession ticket. Again, we'll ask you to donate what you want on top. And if you've got a junior, I mean, £21 for 21 games, it's absolutely unbelievable value. You know, that's the price of maybe two trips to the cinema, less if you count the Coke and the popcorn. So you get 21 games for the price of two cinema tickets. What we need is supporters to commit to us to buy the season ticket. It's good value. It really helps the club out, and we need that money really to do the things we want to do the things with the ground. Because you look at this ground, it's absolutely magnificent. You look at it and you think, oh well, job done, it's all over. But we still need to pay a lot of money. You know, we've got some community shares that we have to start paying back in the future. We had a council loan that we've got to start paying back. We've got the interest to pay back next month, and then we start paying the actual loan off next year. We need the money to do the SMRE bar. We need to do the two ends of the main stand. There's a lot to do, and that's not even thinking about the terracing on the away end, which at some point we really should do for our away funds. So we need the supporters to buy into it, really, and get a season ticket and help us carry this this club forward.
And those season tickets are available via the online shop, or you can come down here in the week and there'll be a club shop open for you, which is, as we started this interview, that's what we're talking about, and that's there too, and the office opening hours.
Yeah, so we've got you know, you can buy them online whenever you want, and over the phone. Yeah, and they will be available to buy before the pre-season game against Fleetwood on Tuesday, and for the first couple of league games, so Spennymoor and Kidderminster, you can roll up on the day and buy your season ticket.
And are you looking forward to that opening Tuesday night here at Broadhurst, that Spennymoor game?
Yeah, it's you know, it's nice to get back down to the league, you know, and Spennymoor are a new team who've come up to our league, so we've not played them before. It's always exciting when you've got a new team, isn't it? And
we know the calibre of them because we were watching them quite a lot of times last season, me and Ben, and
they're very good.
They are very good, and it'll be an entertaining game. Similar kind of playing style to South Shields. I know you were there on last Saturday. That kind of quality. Good pace, good footballing team, and it's going to be a great opening to the season for us, really, at home here.
I think as well, when we've had teams from the sort of from the North East in the past, they've sort of maybe come up to our league and not been prepared for the travelling, for the expense of it, and they've not really particularly wanted to be in our league in the past. We've had teams drop out, but I think the teams, Blythe, Spennymoor this time round, I think they've come up with ambitions that, you know, this is a staging post for them not only that,
they've had to travel for the last two seasons, so they're used to the up and down the country.
Kind of like a Durham situation.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one because there's quite a lot of money behind Spennymoor, as there is, as we know, with South Shields and not necessarily with Blythe, but those North East teams coming down here. But what we can always expect is entertaining football, and I think they'll bring entertaining football. I suppose when you play against an entertaining team, I think you bring out the best in yourselves as well as a footballing team. So hopefully that's going to be a really good sunny evening here at Broadhurst Park.
Teams like coming here as well because we've got such a splendid playing surface, you know.
Yeah.
A big crowd with a bit of atmosphere, a really good playing surface. So for those teams that do play football, they enjoy coming here. You know, it's some of the places we go, the pitch isn't so good, it's a small crowd. This is one that they look forward to, and it helps a team raise their game when they play us.
But what we're saying is, on that Tuesday, well, on this Tuesday as well, when we play Fleetwood, we want a crowd down here, but especially for that Spennymoor game and the following Saturday game against Kidderminster, it'd be good if the crowd could be here, because it's going to be a challenging opening set of games for FC United, so it'd be good if we have that, I don't want to use a cliche, but that 12th man here, not just cheering, but also...
How many times in the past have we come back late on with good goals because the crowd baying in the SMRE or the main stand? You know, it does help the team, and... yeah, we need a good crowd. We need to start the season well. It's such a competitive league this year. If you start well and get on a bandwagon, you know, and get a few points in the bag early on, then you build from that. And you know, let's not forget that the playoffs are down to seventh spot this year. I don't.
Are you in? It
would be a massive challenge for us to do so. But you know what? There's probably seven really big teams in our league this year, but one or two will have a bad year, and then one or two teams in that sort of middle level that we hopefully will be in. Might have a good year,
because that's the key, isn't it? It's season tickets, great fundraising, sponsorship of billboards, a nice bit of success on the pitch, maybe a cup run wouldn't go amiss.
We're a football team, you know, and sometimes we forget that we're always appealing for money and everything else. But at the end of the day, we're a football team. We want to run to the first round of the FA Cup or maybe to the latter stages of the trophy. You know, if we can have a decent league performance and a good cup run, that gets everyone excited.
And also, we've got to uh, retain our title anyway, is the Manchester Premier Cup.
Manchester Champions.
Well, that's
Champions,
be, yeah. It's got to be one of the best trophies, and we've got it here at Broadhurst Park. We don't want to lose it, do we?
I mean, not on Salford, haven't it, do we, or anything like that? Anyway, Adrian Seddon, thank you for joining us. And
thanks for having
me. Keep up the good work. Thank
Cheers.
You very much. So I think that's a good point to end tonight's broadcast.
I think so, Ben. It's...
I've got a special announcement to make, though.
Oh, go on, then.
Coming next Friday... Obviously, we're here on Tuesday night for the
final game. We are on Tuesday, yes.
But coming up next Friday, we're changing around our schedule here on SC Radio. We're going to be doing live radio on Friday nights. So this isn't a one-off. We're going to be doing radio on Friday nights. Join myself and Marv and Swamper and a few special guests every Friday night. For the
Indeed,
shindig,
yes.
For the Friday night shindig, we call it.
And, I'll be either live in the studio you guys.
You'll be in Brackley.
Or I'll be a roving reporter somewhere else waiting for your dulcet tones.
The thing is, me and Marv have got a plan for next Friday's show. We've had a production meeting and we've planned out.
You haven't shared it with me, that's the thing.
I know fuller what's going to happen next Friday. We're going to hand over to Swamper in Brackley at about 20 to 9, and then he's going to hijack the whole show.
Yes.
That's pretty much
exactly
what's going to happen.
Exactly what I'm going to
so
do.
So that's going to be 8:30 next Friday night, live from somewhere in Manchester City Centre. And we might put it on Facebook as well. But for Swamper, thank you for all your hard work this evening with a potential chest infection. I'd get that
well, not potential out. Chest infection. It is a chest infection. That's actually on its way out. So I do apologise. I'm hopefully cough-free and chest-free on Tuesday night.
And a big thank you to Stato Paul, and a big thank you to Stephen Wood, and a big thank you to you, dear listener, for joining us. Don't forget to donate to this service, fcmradio.co.uk/donate. We need a new mixing desk. Any donations will be greatly received. But from everyone here, Baleary Cultures Radio's coming up at 10 o'clock, but from everyone here at Broadhurst Park, we wish you all a fond farewell.
Yes,
good evening.
And a happy weekend.
FC United return to action on Tuesday evening, the 1st of August, for their final pre-season friendly of the summer. It's against Fleetwood Town and it's taking place at Broadhurst Park. Kick-off on Tuesday nights will be 7:45 p.m. And then this coming Saturday, the whole season kicks off good and proper as FC United travel south to take on Brackley Town. The address for the ground is St James's Park, Churchill Way, Brackley, Northamptonshire, NN13 7EJ. That's St James's Park, NN13 7EJ. Kickoff this Saturday will be 3 o'clock and we'll be bringing you live coverage here on FCUM Radio from 2:30 p.m. this Saturday if you can't make it. And that's it from me for this week's Summer. This Club Is My Club. We hope you've enjoyed these episodes that we've been doing the last few weeks or so. Cockers and Marv will return next week for the first in a brand new series of This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Ben, see you next time.
This summer, FC United will once again be operating the Pay What You Can Afford season ticket scheme, as well as the new 3-year season ticket. To purchase your season ticket, please visit www.fcumshop.co.uk or over the phone during office hours on 0161 769 2005 or in person at the club office during working hours. This season promises to be a cracker, so please don't delay. Purchase your FC United season ticket today.